The owners of the studio don't hear how loud we're playing this in the studio because we're breaking things. We're breaking tweeters and woofers. And no, I'm kidding. By the way, if anybody hears this from the studio and they come later and there's something broken, I was joking, okay? Oh, man, I get in trouble so often. SeanPinchin.ca, P-I-N-C-H-I-N. Yep, that's how you'd expect to spell it. Pinchin.ca. Sean is not how you expect to spell it. It's the other way. Sean Pinchin's breakthrough 2013 release, Rust Bucket, got music lovers' attention in a big way. It nabbed him a nomination for New Artist of the Year at the 2014 Maple Blues Awards and was touted by many as one of the best, if not the best, Canadian blues release for 2013. One reviewer's description summed up many people's reaction to Pinchin's arresting brand of modern roots music. Here's a good sentence. Fresh, vibrant, and oozing with personality. That's my Christian Mingle profile. The only question is, where has someone this good, where have they been hiding all this time? That's what this person. This release should prove a career maker. Someone from Penguin Eggs said that. Sean's new release, Monkey Brain, Chilled Monkey Brains, is how what it should have been called, is a guitar tour de force, a gritty mashup of the history of roots guitar music torn down and built back up again. And throughout the album, Sean Pinchin delivers stories of personal struggle and triumph after living with depression for many years. This guy's got the talent He's got the chops, as they say, and he's also got a nice little backstory, which is always good for things like American Idol. He's here on the show, Sean Pynchon. Sean, did your dog die?
No. Dog didn't die.
No. Have you had a dog? Have you had any pets?
I have two dogs, four rats, and a rabbit right now.
You have four rats.
My girlfriend has four rats, but they're kind of like...
Please tell me one of them is named Ben.
No. We have Poncho, Pedro, Squee, and Piopi.
There's a little bit of a Hispanic thing going on there?
Yeah, I don't really know. I think two of them are like Mexican hairless, and they have like little mustaches, so they're very, very, very cute. So, but they're hairless, you know, they're Pedro and Poncho. We call them the fatties.
Funny.
Yeah.
That's
funny. Know, rats are great, and you know, there's more than a zillion out there that could use some warmth, so...
Was this like a little public service announcement for Adopt a Rat?
Guelph Rat Save is available 7 days a week.
Welcome back, man. Deion Taylor is who you were. Oh, I said the name. Sorry.
Yeah.
You backed up her, and I was thoroughly enjoying that time period. And then as you were leaving, you said, you know, I got a little something coming out later. I said, well, then you need to come back, young man.
I do. That was actually the first track from the record. That was the first thing that's been played. I don't even have anything online. That was like it. That was the first.
Really?
That was really exciting.
We just debuted your album on our show.
We just debuted it. Yeah, yeah. And I know my publicist was happy that I was able to get this kind of going without her having to like sort of
work,
call and organize me. Well, it's great. I think she's happy for me now. She's like, good boy. So Monkey Brain comes out on the 18th of March. So very close.
Yeah, well, we want to let everyone know about the CD release party. It's at one of my favorite clubs in Toronto. Monkey Brain CD release party is March 18th. I don't know why I'm talking like this. March 18th. The Dakota Tavern, 7 to 9 p.m. So that's nice and early. You can get home and tuck your homeschool kids into bed, 7 to 9 at the Dakota Tavern, which is just around the corner from the Painted Lady.
Yeah.
And also from the all-night breakfast place, the diner. What's that diner called?
Oh, it's not the Riverview, is it?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. No,
Lakeview?
Lakeview, that's what it is, Lakeview, because ain't no river there.
They do a lot of TV shows there.
They do a lot of... Suits was filmed there. I saw an episode. They do a lot of stuff. I saw some guy get shot behind the counter there.
And then they filmed a show.
And
like,
then they filmed
the Downtown Toronto.
He's writing hooks as he speaks.
It's time to do something, everybody.
Sean Pynchon, S-E-A-N. Let's talk about S-E-A-N just for a second.
It actually means John in the Book of Names. It said C. John. I never looked up John. I was a lazy kid, but I was like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
So what does John mean?
I don't know. Yeah. So Sean, I went to school. I did a long time ago. And in grade two, there was a bully named Sean.
Oh, no.
And he was from the home, the group home, you know?
Yeah.
The loyal, true blue and orange home or something in Richmond Hill. I don't know. It was like a foster thing or whatever. And so, of course, knowing that he was parentless, we made horrific fun of him. You see, that's what you did back in the day.
Oh, I know. I was Sean the Leprechaun for many years.
Oh, my goodness.
Went to school.
Sean the Leprechaun, yeah. Because teacher you're
said,
a ginger.
Yeah, teacher said, that's not fair. Give him back his underwear. That was like...
That's horrible.
Till grade seven.
He's here all week, folks.
Yeah.
I want to talk about my Sean, if you don't
mind.
Okay,
yeah, please.
He used to light matches in his desk. And he'd smell, and no one knew until his desk caught on fire one day. Oh. And the teacher beat the snot out of him for that.
Yeah. Back in the day, lighting, yeah, it's this, maybe he's...
These days it'd be now, Sean,
talk about this.
Now just don't set your desk on fire again.
Yeah, and wheel it out the window. Yeah, not good. I think that I graduated high school in like 2000, I think, and it was like a couple years trying on that last few years. I think I was there 6 years or something. It's a long time.
Yeah.
It was like college for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. I want to go right into the depression.
Yeah, sure.
Let's get right into the depression.
That's when it happened.
Because Meathead here, mm-hmm. Tim the Tool, he's on pills.
Me too.
And so the guys just gave the secret hand signal or something here.
The secret depressive.
we were trading outside.
Depression rocks.
Ooh, look at that.
Do you have players cards?
Yeah. I'm actually like a limited edition.
Celebrity depression. This is, by the way, we're not making fun of depression. We're just we make fun of everything.
It's a very real thing.
It's
yeah.
Darkest time for you.
I would say when I was about 18 or 19, I started to really... to notice I wasn't, I started waking up with like this sense of dread and going to bed with this sense of anxiety, but during the day it would kind of fluctuate up and down, and I was able to like, you know, I was a high school kid, so I'd skip school, smoke cigarettes and drink coffee and hang out at the Tim Hortons with, you know, all my friends and listen to music. So yeah. I was able to kind of bandage it, but once I kind of graduated and I didn't go to school for anything and I got into the workforce making donuts at a Sobeys, The truth came to the surface really quick, so I got involved with a bunch of doctors that were helping me through repetitive strain injuries, because my whole thing was feeling sad was one thing, but I was starting to get like circulation issues on my hands. Hmm. And being a young guitar player, this immediately caused a kind of like a paralyzing form of dread. I started feeling like I was going to not be able to play music, and I was like not even 20 yet. So I saw a bunch of carpal tunnel specialists. I saw a bunch of like repetitive strain specialists, and you know, nobody was able to really tell me why I was in pain, but they were all able to tell me that they weren't the doctors to help me. And then somebody mentioned Dr. John Chong at the Musicians Clinic of Canada. And I think I saw him probably when I was 19 or 20. And I've been working with him. I'll be 35 in May. I've been working with him since then. And it's been just one of those things where I've really sort of studied where the pain comes from. And for me, it was always like dealing with physical pains caused from the anguish or the depression, the anxiety. Not everybody has that sort of thing, but I was literally blowing like fuses in my body, like hands would go numb. I would lose like mobility.
This is from depression?
Yeah, because what happens is your core area in your shoulders and neck, where I was processing most of my fear and anxiety, was tensing up to the point where it's like you imagine cooking a steak over a campfire and you don't know what you're doing. And it's just a little too thick at the end and becomes a rubber toy.
Yeah.
So blood can't really penetrate those muscle tissues as much. So you get less blood flow, less everything, and less nutrients. You do that for, I don't know, 10 years, you're looking at like all kinds of what people call fibromyalgia, nerve pain. So I've been on all kinds of meds for that stuff that normally would only be given to people with diabetes. And, you know, I'm a young guy to have to go through a lot of this. And trying to even talk about this, most people are like, yeah, suck it up, you know, suck it up, sugar.
Who says that? Nobody says that anymore.
No, but that was the medicine that most people got before mental health became something we could talk about.
Yeah.
Like, my father didn't have the opportunity until the last maybe 10 years to get into his own struggles. And he has, though? Yeah, my family is, a lot of people in my family.
So a big genetic thing going
huge,
on here.
Huge, actually, yeah. It actually started off, I don't know how far back it goes, but I do know there had been some institutionalized moments for some distant relatives that were like, you know, not able to cope. And that's where it came for me. It's like a feeling of drowning when there's nothing happening. That's true panic. So I'm doing great now. Music is awesome. But I do recommend seeing help, finding the right doctor, because there are a lot of wrong doctors out there.
Yeah. Well, I've said that quite often about therapists and counselors. You know, a lot of people will go to a counselor finally because there's a big stigma there. And they don't jive with the person, and so they stop going to counseling.
Yeah, and then they have this bad rep for that, and it's like, no, you really just got to try a little harder.
I don't want to hurt their feelings. No, man, a counselor would much rather you go to someone that you can click with.
You'd be surprised how hard it is to hurt somebody's feelings who deals with feelings all day, you know? Like, they're smarter than that, you know?
Well said. Really well said. Yeah. Well, why don't we just talk and not play music for an hour? Good night. How about a song, man?
Sure, man.
What are you going to do? Lay this on us? Tell us about it. Set it up. Do your thing.
I'll warm up here on a tune from my first, or my fifth record, but my first real album, Rust Bucket. This is, I blew a tire on my car the other day, and I got it fixed for $25, and I thought that was a blessing. Normally, I have to replace the tire. So here we go. This is called Broke Down Automobile.
Love it. Again, live in the Drew Marshall Show, Sean Pynchon.
I got a broke down automobile that I can't afford. It doesn't matter, she's not on the road, yeah. There's so much and I travel so far, but I should have known from the start I'd never make it that far. I got a broken hearted girl at home, she's on my mind. I know she's fading when she tells me she's fine. Left so much and I travel so far, but I should have known that I'd never make it that far. All right. The day we met, love it much, but I travel so far, but I should have known that I'd never make it that far. I should have known that I never hoped make it that far. I should have known that I'd never make it that far.
Pitching on the Drew Marshall Show. What do you think of that, Megs? Huh? Megs was thinking we were getting all like jazzy smooth the last couple of artists we've had, and you just brought back the stuff.
Rusty trash can.
Yeah. Man, dude. Okay, so let's just settle down because we don't want to make you think that you're amazing or anything. Wouldn't want that to
happen.
Don't
worry, my natural attributes actually tell me quite the opposite.
I suck.
Yeah, so don't worry, man.
Okay.
That's always.
All right. The blues thing.
Yeah.
Do you want to be put into that category?
You know,
are you ready to own it?
I'll own it. I'll take it. I don't know if it's going to work out the way that people think it should go. Like, you know, it's like, I think it's one of those things where I'm into rock and roll. I'm into a lot of old metal and 80s stuff and 70s music a little bit more than some of my music has shown.
Sure.
And I love old blues too, but I got a review recently that criticized the new record of being a little bit too into hard rock as opposed to blues, and that's exactly what I was going for. There is one straight-ahead blues tune on it, kind of, and then there's a little bit more of what I've been trying to do as an artist, and it's like, so I wonder about alienating people that are purists, because I respect the purists. I was one, but I'm not anymore. I feel like I don't know. I hope I can last in the blues.
Well, what category? I mean, did ZZ Top not have that kind of transformation?
Blues rock? Yeah. Well, that's exactly. Or like even like some. Like, I got a Billy Squire comment. Somebody said like I think The Stroke was that tune. But to me, that's like a blues rock tune.
Yeah.
Or Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
I think that gray area is where I'd like to exist. But the only problem with that is pop culture has kind of owned that market for a long time. Where like you get a lot of super celebrities out of that whole scene, you know, and like it's hard to kind of, you know, like Derek Trucks and Susan Tedeschi kind of are running in that line now, and it's not really straight up blues, but I still think it's relevant. And I don't know
who are the Axemen of Toronto you dig.
People I really dig, when I was young, I was, and you know, I'm still young enough, but like when I was like my ears are really early on, and I guess when I didn't know anybody, Gordy Johnson of Big Sugar was my man.
Right.
And he's, I guess he's from Windsor, but he was the first few Big Sugar albums.
Have you ever complimented him like that? You know, Gordy Johnson, I just want to say that before I realized that there were other people, I really liked you. Have you said that to him?
No. You know, I'm sure he would take it as well as any other comment. But, you know, like, just he's a very busy guy. I never really felt like I'd resonate with him.
No.
When you meet your heroes, you really got to, like, you know, there's one guy that I met named Kelly Joe Phelps, who's like probably the sweetest human being I've ever met and one of my favorite finger pickers. So it was kind of a combination effort of like someone like Big Sugar's Gordy Johnson, who did blues, rock, and mixed that well. And I just sort of ran with that.
Who was the guy we were talking about who plays with Sayeda Baba Taliba's band?
Oh, Kirk Godwin.
Yeah.
Yeah, a good friend of mine from, well, we came from the same neighborhood.
He's a player.
Yeah. Yeah, he's with Ride the Tiger, Four Lines.
And what's that club he plays at? Go up the stairs on Queen Street?
First Saturday, every Saturday.
Wait, it's on Queen Street, isn't it?
Isn't it on College?
Oh, maybe it's on College, sorry.
I don't really know. Don't get lost in us.
No.
Google.
Yeah. So what's the club called again?
Orbit Room.
Orbit Room,
owned by
right.
Alex Lifeson.
And he plays, what, Friday nights or Saturday nights?
Saturdays. Okay. Every Saturday night, 10 till 10.
I went in there one time in the summer, and it was filthy hot. It was hottest room I've ever been into.
Yeah, yeah.
It was packed, and people were dancing. And
that happens when Kurt sings, I tell you.
Oh.
He was one of the first guys I was on a band with that I knew that, like, this is the caliber of musicians I want to grow old with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still growing old, and so is he. So,
nice.
You know, more power to
him. Well, before you get any older, do another song.
All right.
What are you doing?
I'll do a song from my from Monkey Brain. This is called Monsters. It's basically just about having anxiety attack.
I love it. That's a great name for it, man. Again, live on the Drew Marshall Show, the one and only Sean Pynchon. Thank you.
I'm running for my life from these monsters in the dark. I got nowhere left to hide. I've been doomed from the start. What am I to do now? Chasing after me, yeah. Leading me to a dark place. Honey, just leave me be. I'm wasting, am I wasting all your time? What am I to do now? Chasing after me. Lead me to a dark place, honey, just leave me be, yeah.
Songs were laughing. I don't know why. I think a long time ago, I heard some killer blues tunes, and I just remember somebody going,
that's what they did on a lot of records.
Welcome.
Yeah. That's not the album version, too. I don't know why. I can't seem to repeat yet. You're always getting a new, it's like the Hendrix philosophy on songs. It's like, yeah, I dig, and then you just sort of chew gum and run with it.
Yeah, chew gum and run with it. Yeah, that's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah, it's actually really hard for me to play the same song twice.
I was thinking about that the other day because I was doing something on my guitar, and I thought, oh, this would be good. And I, for the life of me, A, I can't remember it, and B, even if I did remember it, I just can't lay it out the same way. Time after time after time, the robotics of stuff is a weird thing.
So now you think about athletes, and you're like, whoa. That's like their whole bodies become that whole thing. Why today can they not skate as fast as yesterday or this?
Yeah.
So that's why it's funny. The doctor that I saw for musicians, dancers, and performing artists that have issues, he would relate a lot of it to the sports trade, like the Maple Leafs and stuff, and how much stress, especially under the scrutinizing, never winning a cup kind of thing. Sure. That they, you know.
Sorry, did you say wearing a cup or winning a cup?
Winning a cup. Okay. They might wear a cup.
Those are totally different.
Yeah, winning a cup.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. That's my name, and we are in the middle of a segment we're calling Live on The Drew Marshall Show, devoted solely to the art of music, because in my life, music has spoken to my soul a heck of a lot more than preachers have over the years. That's why I decided a long time ago to feature as many live performances as possible. Joining us today, live on The Drew Marshall Show, is Sean Pinchin. His website, S-E-A-N, Sean Pinchin, P-I-N-C-H-I-N.ca. And if you're liking what you're hearing, and you've never been to the Dakota Tavern, man, you got to go. And it's an early night for you, for the old crowd out there, you know. So just check in with the security guards at the retirement home and make sure that you sign the waiver that you have to sign before you leave the property. Monkey Brain CD release party is March 18th at Dakota Tavern. Still having a hard time with that one. 7 to 9 p.m. And tickets can be available on Sean's website, and I don't know, you'll find them. SeanPinchin.ca. Sean, I want to talk about your guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it looks like it's an international.
Yeah, it's a national steel from 19. It's a national steel from 1934, but it's the very end of 1934 when they started building 14 fret necks on it and a shorter body. So these weren't as successful as the larger bodied ones with the 12 fret neck joint, which really just gives you less playing room. But this guy was sort of one of the earlier serial numbers that come out of that. And I've had this for about 8 or 9 years. It's made of steel and it's pretty loud. I just had it fixed. New internal.
So it'll never reproduce.
It'll never reproduce, yeah. The world is safe for another. Yeah, but, you know, like, I'm hoping this guitar lasts another 80-odd years for, like, the next. I feel like more of a curator of this. I have two of these, and you can see the rust, the paint sort of rusting off it.
What's the black MacGyver tape stuff that's going on?
This is kind of like a guitar pickup that I bought off eBay for a lot of money. It's an old Barkus Berry.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's like a really weird rarity as far as guitar pickups that they made for a short time, and I was able to get this. And I do the duct tape over the top. I'm really inspired by Chris Whitley, and which he's sort of like the dirtiest national steel player to ever come out of Texas. And,
okay.
He was kind of like Sonic Youth meets, you know, like that song Dallas by Johnny Winter, you know?
Oh, just yeah.
Good stuff, you
yeah.
know? So he's a duct tape pickup guy, so I've currently got that on, and it's covering up some of the more rust.
So it was, for the folks out there that don't really know what we're looking at or what we're feeling here, this is a steel guitar?
It's a resonator guitar. So right.
So what's the difference between a resonator and a steel guitar?
Resonators are made of steel. Resophonic or Dobro style guitars have a wood body and what's called a biscuit cone inside. Or, sorry, a spider cone. This has what's called a biscuit cone, which looks like a frying pan.
Yeah.
And it's basically just like an aluminum style speaker with like a... with the strings
on the center of the
yeah.
soundboard, the face of the guitar.
And
yeah.
The strings run across the top of it, yeah. Creating tension, and the body is metal to give you more of a kind of a resophonic metallic tone. And really, this right before electricity was available in the house and in your house or any sort of venue, musicians would use these things to sort of compete with brass instruments.
Oh.
If you're sitting there like with a steel acoustic guitar,
it's not getting there.
Well, yeah, like this was as close as it got, but then Leo Fender, you know, and a lot of guys like Rickenbacker were building like lap steels, and certain electricity sort of happened about within, well, this was 34. When did electricity become available? It was probably the early 40s.
1997, where I lived. That's where.
There was a dark time before that. So, like, basically these things became obsolete, and also during the war, they would melt a lot of them down for the, you know, they were collecting metal
for bullets and stuff.
Bullets and terrible things.
Yeah.
So a lot of these guitars were melted down too.
Really?
Yeah. So this one managed to stay alive, and I have one from 1932 as well.
Getting shot by one of those would give you the blues.
Yeah. There's actually one that I saw a picture of on YouTube, or somebody had it. It was a vintage one. It actually had a bullet hole in it.
Ooh.
So somebody probably got shot while playing one.
Yeah.
And whether it went through the whole thing is, who knows? I don't think it did. I think it actually stopped the bullet.
Yeah, they got angry back in those
you
days.
Know,
man,
and the guitars were built better than the weapons were back then. And I,
now you know who I know is a big blues fan, big Robert Johnson fan.
Who?
George Strombolopoulos.
Is he really?
Oh, huge dude. He has been to Robert Johnson's grave, and picked up a stone from his grave, and still kind of keep one or two. I don't know, a few stones. I can't remember the whole story. Don't wreck a good story with facts, Drew. So he's a huge blues fan, huge Robert Johnson fan. Yeah. So is Robert Johnson somebody that
he was like the first rock star for me, and Blind Willie Johnson too. I think Blind Willie Johnson's a little more obscure. He comes actually a few years before Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
And his slide playing to me is the best. But he was blinded by his stepmother when he was 7 with lie. So he learned how to play the guitar as a blind sort of
right.
preacher. And he was singing like basically all Baptist tunes or Pentecostal.
See, now
tunes.
I know why we used to discipline kids by putting soap in their mouth, because soap was made with lye.
Yeah.
You see? And we just went from throwing it into their eyes to get making them taste it.
Yeah. And so this kid was blinded by it. And
blinded by the lie.
So, and then, you know, there's a lot of guys that played on the in the early 30s and 40s that are... Like, Buck of White, B.B. King's cousin's fantastic.
Have you heard my interview with B.B. King yet?
No.
Come on, man. Get to the Drew Marshall Show website and listen to that B.B. King interview. What's Robert Johnson's most famous song?
Crossroads.
And just so people know, can you play
it?
I
knew Walkin' Blues. I figured we were going to do that at some point.
Well, let's do that right now.
Yeah, yeah,
let's do Walkin' Blues.
Let's do a Robert Johnson tune here.
I'm going to bring out something shiny and silver.
Yep.
Well, I woke up this morning, feeling round for my shoes. Well, you know about that. And I'm walking blues this morning, baby. I feel around for my shoes. And you know about that. I had them all walking blues. Well, I feel like leaving, baby, after I have blinds. Well, I've been mistreated and I don't mind dying this morning. Oh, you know my blues make me cry. These walking blues, yeah. Ooh, I feel them all so deep inside.
Ladies and gentlemen, Drew Marshall.
I realized a couple things that I realized there. First of all, number one, this is where I'm real Canadian. I haven't played the harp in about 7 months, and it's quite interesting how when you lose the circulatory breathing thing,
yes,
in the middle of a song, it's hard to recover. That's number one.
I get a leg cramp sometimes.
Number two, I know harp players that are way too out front all the time, and they just irritate. It's the kind of instrument that you got to know when to get out, yeah, and when to come back.
Misery whistle.
Yeah, and until you know somebody, and until you know a song,
yeah,
you know, you got to know your pockets when to come in and out. And the other thing I realized is that during when I was playing, I know that Tim made a little noise over there, and suddenly there is an aroma in the room that really distracted me. So I just want to say that I think Tim has bad breath. Tim has bad breath. There's a guy named Mike Stevens. He's a Canadian. He's a harp player. I emceed for the Maple Blues Fest for 2 or 3 years, and he and Ray McLean and Mike Stevens, these two guys play together. And Mike Stevens is a harp player, and he goes up and works with the Inuit kids, or what do you call them, Native?
Oh, up Native, in Iqaluit?
Yeah, way or, up there. Yeah, like, are they called Native?
None of it. I think...
Inuit. They're Inuit.
Do we call them Aboriginal?
Inuit.
Oh, they're just Inuit?
Yep.
Okay.
I've been there. I've been there, none of it, before. I played a show there with an Edmonton singer named Anne Vreend. It was a shock to
I'm
see.
Sorry, her name was Anne of...
Anne Vreend.
Oh.
Anne of Green.
Yes. Anyway, this guy plays harmonica so well, he's given himself multiple hernias.
Really?
Yeah.
Lord.
An amazing player. I should play something of his later on the show.
Oh, yeah.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
When I settle down? I want to be a career performer.
Okay.
I want to perform. I'm playing a lot right now in bars, but
you
like
play a lot of gigs, man.
Yeah. It's a fine balance to play for a living, to make to help pay my end of the mortgage. You know, I own a house with my girlfriend and we have lots of animals, so trying to keep that going, but I also want to, invest as much as I can into producing records, into making, a bit of a stain in the blues rock world, I guess.
Yeah.
And it does cost more than you earn to do that, especially like we got a grant for this record. So as soon as you get a grant, the misconception is that, free money, but it's like, as soon as you get free money, you need to spend more than you would generally spend to balance that out.
Then why would anybody go for a grant?
Because sometimes it just takes that extra initiative to say, you know what?
That's true.
Spending $5,000 on a record versus spending $25,000, depending on where you are and what you're doing,
right.
You know, one can be better than the other.
Right, right, right. So what they say basically is, if you're willing to kick in 10, we'll kick in 10, and it'll be a $20,000 project as opposed to you just doing 10 on your own.
It's usually a 25 percentile thing. So if they give you like 10, you have a 25% on top of that to do. But
okay.
To keep it that straight, I mean, that's what I had to go with. But it was like more like, I don't know. I almost doubled what they gave me, just because like to try and figure out. So you get $10,000 to spend on something, and then they give you, and then you have to spend 25% more on that. When you start to work out the budget of what costs that much in order to have the studio and to keep, you know,
you're over it. Anyway.
You're over it. Anyways.
Yeah.
It is a helpful thing. I mean, I must thank Factor again for helping me out. This is the first time I've been sort of nose deep in the. Figuring out how to...
In the biz.
Well, yeah, totally. Getting audited, trails. You know, it's all normal stuff where they go through the project and make sure everything's good. And
yeah.
It's my first time. It's like the closest to school that I've had a long time.
Isn't it sick, eh?
It's like I get the same nausea that I had when I was 17, man. It's all coming back.
No.
I'm failing.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I want to keep going with your bio here. Realizing that his grief could be put to constructive use, he began writing about everything that caused him pain, fear, and heartache.
But then I stopped writing about girls.
Nice. I went into bowel obstruction.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Monkey Brain is his blues, and he comes by it honestly. The album was recorded with Juno Award-winning producer Rob Szabo. I play baseball with a guy named Szabo. I'm sure they're not related.
That's
he also co-wrote the album. Like its predecessor, Rust Bucket, the songs were recorded quickly with many takes done live off the floor with Sean Pynchon playing and singing the tunes in one complete pass.
Yes.
That is cray-cray, as
yeah,
the kids
the
say.
The first record, Rust Bucket, we did more of that, and we kept it to that, so there's a bit of a thinness, whereas this album, we sort of framed the album, and then it was like, oh, let's come back to it, and let's just add to what you just did. So, definitely more production value, new for me. You know, it made me respect people that work in television a lot more.
Yeah?
Know what goes on? Yeah, I just think that, like, broadcasting, television, record production... like the real art form of it is alive and well, and there's a lot of independent people out there like Rob that are just totally able to take a guy like me who doesn't know how to get what he wants onto the table. And I didn't have an idea for an album until Rob was like, I'm going to help you. And it was a lot of work for him to do it. And
do you know when your next gig is with what's her name?
With Dion Taylor?
Shh, don't say your name.
Oh, sorry. I know we have a bunch of stuff coming up in the summer as far as festivals. Beaches Jazz, probably the Uptown Blues Jazz Festival.
Dion Taylor is posting on our Facebook site as we speak.
As right now?
She's taking over.
Tell her I love her.
Yeah, she says, oh yeah, and then she quotes me, don't wreck a good story with facts. I don't think I originally came up with that, but it's my motto. That's going to be my epitaph on my gravestone.
Yeah, totally. I use it, and then I go on to switching topics. Fact becomes another story.
Thank you.
I lose everybody.
Exactly. Well done. Well done. Spent the summers of 2014-50 performing at many nationally and internationally renowned festivals, including the Montreal Jazz Festival, Mont Tremblant International Blues Fest, Donnacona Blues Festival. Where's that?
Donnacona is about Donnacona. Half an hour outside of Quebec City.
Okay.
I was just there 2 weeks ago, and I drove from that city,
yeah.
Quebec City, to Stratford to play a gig in that day. And
cool.
That was the longest drive
I've
done alone.
The longest drive in your life.
10.5
yeah.
hours.
Whoa, no thanks.
Then I played for 4 hours.
Kitchener Blues Festival. And then one of these things just doesn't seem to fit, although I think it's gotten a little more recognition on the street with the kids, the Orangeville Blues Festival.
Yeah.
See, I always kind of chuckle at that because that's my hometown.
Yeah.
And Larry Kurtz and the gang
up
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that boy can blow.
Yeah.
He's got a good sense of harp.
And, you know, I've played a private party at his house for the volunteers. I've spent some time with Larry. Like, I couldn't be more excited to work for an organization.
Yeah.
It's like if my buds put together a blues festival and it was run by just good, solid people.
Larry Kurtz is a good, solid guy for sure.
We're not putting down other blues fests. It's just harder to get to know the artistic director on having beers. Hey, sit in with me.
Yeah.
Most of them don't play music.
No, that's
He's
right.
One of the few directors that plays well.
So. Yeah. What about Southside Shuffle? Done that yet?
Oh, yeah. You know, I spent a lot of time. One of my favorite people who actually you need to meet is Johnny Max.
Okay.
He's got me in and out of the festival a few times. Works closely with Chuck Jackson.
Yeah.
And
I believe we call him Charles.
Charles, yeah, and that was kind of my baby steps into the Blues Fest, but I haven't been getting as much through that quite as much. But yeah. Kitchener, Claude at Kitchener's been the best. And Quebec's been the nicest, I think, to me. They're my new favorite spot to play in Canada.
Want to let everyone know again, Monkey Brain, the CD release party is March 18th at the Dakota Tavern, 7 to 9 p.m. Tickets are going to be available. They're available right now.
You can go to my site and click on the link right on the front page. Or
hold on a second. Isn't that next week? No. So one more week after.
2 weeks, yeah. I hope. Yeah.
Man, that's coming. Sorry, what were you saying? You go to your site?
Yes. Go to the site. There's a link that says click here, and then the Dakota set that up, and it's $10 in advance or $12 at the door.
Nice, nice. Well worth the coin. Great little venue and good staff behind the bar.
It's going to be a loud show.
I
haven't played with a trio in a long time. I don't know, so we're doing the full show for this, and then we're going to have a vocals, like a backup vocalist and everything.
Last time I was there, it was for the Sidemen reunion down there with Paul Reddick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, that was crazy loud.
He's great.
That was good.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's do another tune, if you don't mind.
Don't.
What do you got for us?
Well, let's think. I'm going to do a tune here that's about recording records and investing all of your money into your projects and loves. It's called Dirt Poor.
I love it. Again, live on the Drew Marshall Show, Sean Pinchin.
Sorry, let me just put the capo on here.
Yeah, no worries.
The old cheater stick.
Don't wanna be dirt poor anymore, don't know what to do. Don't wanna be dirt poor anymore, I don't know what to do. Ain't got no change in my pocket, baby, it makes me feel so blue. Don't need you nagging me, baby, it makes me feel like a fool. Don't need you nagging me, baby, yeah, makes me feel like a fool. You know it may take my time, but I'll get behind your mule. I will plow for you, honey. Won't you forgive me, baby, if I wander astray? It may take me all night, but Sean Pinchin always finds his way. Don't wanna be dirt poor. Don't wanna be dirt poor. Don't wanna be dirt poor. Gonna be dirt poor.
I always laugh. I can't help but not laugh. I cannot help but laugh. Can't help but not laugh.
It's weird not playing without my foot coming through a speaker. I'm normally got
yeah.
my kick and I'm
yeah.
like waiting for it.
Dude, what a pleasure to have you back here again.
Thank you,
man,
for having me. I think giving my album an opportunity to have a bit of promotion. It's just
total open door here, man. And we want to let everyone know that Monkey Brain, this new album, we are going to give away on our Facebook page. You are become a new Facebook page liker right now. Our social media intern, Meg's the intern, will monitor
Gingers.
That. And we will pick one out of the hat, and we'll send you a free CD. So go to the Drew Marshall Show Facebook page and like us. Please like us, and then we will bribe you with this great CD. Monkey Brain by Sean Pinchin. Again, the website is seanpinchin.ca, seanpinchin.ca. And one more time for his CD release party, March 18th at the Dakota Tavern, 7 to 9 p.m. Go to his website, Sean, S-E-A-N, S-E-A-N, Pinchin.ca for tickets. Dude, congratulations.
Thank you.
Great tunes. And more often, I keep finding, and it's just a blessing, I'm going to sound schmaltzy here, but I keep finding people that have so much talent who actually are humble as well. And I thought that'd be very, very rare.
Canadian way.
It is the Canadian way. Yeah, it's the way to do it.